Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hardly Casual Podcast. We are here to talk about the E3 wrap-up. With me today is...
Hi, I'm Kenny.
Kenny Hall. And...
Hello, I'm Andy.
Andrew Kate. Thank you, sir. We are going to start off with... we'll start with Sony.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think they had the best E3 performance of all the people who show up at E3. I mean, at least all the console makers. I didn't really watch Ubisoft's presentation because, honestly, I didn't need more Watch Dogs in my life or more Ghost Recon.
There were some good things out of that. We'll get to that. But, I mean, question I had for both of you is, out of what we saw from Sony, what's one... let's go with two, because I feel like they showed a lot of good things. For each of us, and I'll start with you, Kenny, give me two games that tantalized you or that really made E3 exciting for you on Sony's front. What made Sony the best presenter?
I'm really looking forward to the new Spider-Man game. It's being done by Insomniac, is that right?
Insomniac Games,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they're,
Ratchet and Clank
Ratchet
Resistance.
Clank, yeah, Resistance. It just looks fantastic. I believe a couple days ago they confirmed everything that they showed was in-game footage.
Was gameplay.
That's pretty exciting.
The popular media was saying there's no way that this is actual gameplay. This is all pre-rendered. You know, they're selling you snake oil.
Yeah.
No. Like, that, it was super awesome for them to come out and say, no, guys, look, this is our game. It's good.
And I know that they didn't make... Infamous Second Son, but that was a fantastic game, and it looked incredible. So I feel like it's that same vein of game.
The word on the street is that the people that helped with Infamous Second Son, there's a couple of key developers there that are coming over to Insomniac Games kind of as contractors or helpers.
Okay.
So, you know, that could be true. And if that's true, then that's very promising.
Yeah.
Infamous Second Son was the best X-Men game ever made, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It was a fantastic game. And then also, the next game that I'm looking forward to by Sony is Horizon Zero Dawn.
Who isn't?
I think that game just looks absolutely fantastic. Everything about that game, the way the art design is, the dinosaur robot things, it's a weird type of game, but it looks super cool.
Well, I remember that moment where we're all doing a voice chat while we're watching the stream, and I remember us like screaming into the mic, just like, oh, now they're gonna get a mount. And then what happens, a couple seconds later, like, she gets on a mount, and there's all these cool things that we're like calling out that it would be really like a pie in the sky, really neat thing for this game. And sure enough, like seconds later, it's actually happening. And so it really seems like this game is developed with a gamer's fun level in mind.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know about you guys, but I kind of got a little bit of a Heavenly Sword feel from the main character. Like, just the way she
moves.
The way she moves.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And I wasn't a huge fan of Heavenly Sword, but I thought it was a good game. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really hoping that they're able to capture some of that magic that they had in the past consoles with, games like Heavenly Sword, God of War. Andy?
Yes, Sony, they killed it. They came out, the pacing was great. They just game after game after game after game.
Yep.
I think they showed off 5 exclusives for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and up until now, everyone's like made fun of them because no exclusives.
I mean, they just came out and was just all about the games, which was awesome. There wasn't anybody you didn't know that came out and wasted your time with interviews and all that stuff. But the two games that I'm excited for would have to be Horizon Zero Dawn, for sure. That game, they showed case it last year at E3, and they showed it some more, and it keeps on looking better and better every time I see it. And I've heard some people who got to play it behind closed doors, and they're really impressed with it.
Nice.
So definitely. Super excited for that one. And then the next one for me was Resident Evil 7, which I don't think that's a PS4 exclusive. I think it's going to be for everyone, but they did... announce it at the Sony press conference, so that's the one I've been looking forward to.
But it is PlayStation VR exclusive.
If you get a VR, are you going to play it in VR?
Yes, I'm going to play it in VR.
Your balls are bigger than mine.
I think that game will absolutely terrify you.
So I got my VR headset pre-ordered already, and that's when they announced it. I'm like, yes, that's the game I want.
Let's sideswipe into Resident Evil 7 real quick. Did you get a chance to play the demo, Kenny?
I honestly haven't because I'm kind of terrified to.
Okay.
100% honesty. Not super, super great.
Well, feel my shame. Could you feel it?
I feel it.
Andy, you played the Resident Evil 7 demo. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. When you compare it to PT, it's not as good. But, that was something that was unique. It wasn't really supposed to be a demo for a game. It was a unique experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A playable teaser, whereas Resident Evil 7 demo, it kind of just kind of showcases what Resident Evil 7 will be like. So it's not, I mean, it's not as scary, but that's okay. I liked it.
Yeah, and I've heard it described as like an ambient experience.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Yeah, you can easily wrap it up in what, Andy, 8 minutes? I mean, you can hit those paces just bam, bam, bam.
I mean, if you're running through it, yeah. But, yeah. You know, I think I spent 30 minutes with it my first time just because I was going through the room
and
exploring. You can
stop and explore a little bit for sure.
Yeah, and trying to figure out what some of the items that you find do and go to. And I actually went back and probably spent another hour with it just trying to find out what this stupid dummy finger is used for.
Yes, oh my God. I figured out the finger thing. You know, and how it ends up being a key, right?
Well, no one has figured the key, the dummy finger yet.
Well, I mean, not the other one, but you go back. Oh, it's so weird. It's such vague terms. You can find a dummy finger, and it ends up being a key, and you can open a thing, a drawer through it. And then once you go back.
Well, when you go back in time through the VHS tape, you find.
Yeah.
You find a key that's behind, in between the refrigerator and dishwasher, and that key opens up the drawer, and then when you go back to present time, there's an axe that's in that drawer that's now unlocked.
Yep.
Dummy finger, no one has, that's a complete mystery to everybody. Yeah. No one has figured it out.
Well, the funny thing about the axe is, you know, once you get the axe, you can swing it around, and you're attacking from the first person, but, like, the demo's not set up for enemies. Like, there are no...
There's no combat.
There's no combat whatsoever. But,
I mean, it's just them trying to show you how combat would work.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like, a lot of people are still digging apart and piecing apart that demo. And from what they have said through what Capcom has said, is that people haven't found everything there is in the demo yet.
Gotcha.
So maybe there is a reason to use that axe.
So let me ask you guys this. Are there doors that also are loading screens?
No.
I'm kind of disappointed. Like when I think proper Resident Evil, I think of... going to a door and pressing X and then waiting 30 seconds as I watch a door open.
There are doors, and they do treat the doors like they have in previous Resident Evils. Like, it makes that very specific door sound, you know, doorknob turning sound and then the creak. It sounds just like it.
Yeah.
And visually, it kind of feels like it, but it does happen rather quickly. There's no loading in between. So you go up to a door, you open the door, the hand very naturalistically and very realistically touches the door and pushes it open. And you can do like you could in, I don't know if you could do it in PT, but like in Amnesia, The Dark Descent, like you can go up and you can either, you know, burst through the door or you can just kind of like gently open it.
So are there any really big jump scares that happen?
What did you think? Were there jump scare moments?
No, I didn't, but there are kind of. There's certain... items that kind of fall out at you.
Yeah, that's right.
Specific moments, and then the end of the demo, there's kind of like a jump scare, I guess. But
so there's no like zombies that just pop out and
try to grab
you.
It does definitely feel like an alpha demo, like something that's not really fleshed out. Like I'm very excited for what the game can be, and I think that engine's going to do just fine. But I really don't think that this is representative of the final product.
Right.
And I say that in a good way because what is there, I think, can become good. But it does still
feel
early alpha.
Does it feel more
alpha.
Like an Amnesia, like a
little bit, yeah.
Like a horror puzzle game? Cause...
Yeah, and that's honestly what I like about it, I think. I think it's going to be a neat switch up. And if they do throw in that combat, I think it has a chance to be some of the scariest combat we've seen in Resident Evil, just because of the first-person perspective.
Yeah.
And because of what we're seeing that engine do already from the first person.
Was there any dialogue in the demo?
There's tons of dialogue. So not to spoil the whole thing for you, but eventually you find a VHS tape and you put in the VHS tape and watch it, but you're taking part in what you're watching. So when you put in the VHS tape and you watch it, it all of a sudden switches and goes back in time, quote unquote, and you're the cameraman who's filming the VHS tape.
That's kind of cool.
It is really neat. It is really neat. I think that they can pull off some neat story beats with it. But yeah, there are definitely some jump scares. And just, like I said, pulling apart that alpha demo, my nephew was sitting beside me for a lot of it because there's a lot of mystery behind the demo, and there's always a lot of talk behind it.
Right.
And my nephew, he's big in the young, you know, 14 to 16-year-old YouTube scene and streaming scene. So he's as much into this as we are. So he's really trying to piece apart this, and there's one part where one of those jump scares that you're talking about, now that comes to mind, it's you go and pick up a wrench, and after you pick it up, a baby doll, like this charred, ugly baby doll, falls from the ceiling, and the way it happens when you're going through it the first time, you're just like, oh, you know, it fell from the rafters or something. But then going back to it, you know, really piecing apart the engine and seeing where everything is, that baby doll did not exist before you picked this thing up. So literally the game spawned in this baby doll right above your cone of vision and then dropped it. So it's little things like that that I want to see. I would rather that have existed in the real world and not just, you know, manifested for gameplay purposes and just for a jump scare.
Yeah.
But it does have wild potential, and I'm really excited to see where it goes. And this may be the first Resident Evil that I played to completion since 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So definitely exciting. And coming off of that, I mean, you said that your other one was what, Horizon?
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn.
So do you have any worries about Horizon at all?
Nope.
Or
none at all.
None at all?
I think Guerrilla's got this. It's Guerrilla Games.
It is Guerrilla, It's the Killzone team, absolutely. And this has been their big, long endeavor they've apparently been working on for years now.
And I think that kind of showed with the last Killzone as well, to me personally.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the last. I feel like Killzone gets a little too much flack. But I really enjoyed the last one. I thought that was a solid experience.
It was a fun game. I think that, not to derail us, but I think that you could tell they were working on something else. Like you could kind of feel like a fissure in the game, like that they didn't give it all the love they could have.
Yeah,
but
I kind of use Lindsay as like a scope for games that really stick out above the typical gamer audience. Because even that one, she played from start to finish. And so that's kind of saying something, because that's not a typical ballpark game for her type of play.
Gotcha.
So that's really neat. But yeah, I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn, I think it's really curious. It seems very reined in, the demos that we see. This newest one did flesh it out a little bit more and expand it. But even then, I feel like we're not getting a full scope of what the game is.
And I think that's kind of a good thing, though, because you want
absolutely.
That mystery there. And I think one thing that's really interested me is seeing, we saw a little bit of the dialogue tree.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we didn't know that there was going to be dialogue options. We thought it was just like, I honestly, the first time I saw it, thought it was an Ubisoft game. I know, shame on me, but
every open world game is an Ubisoft game.
I mean, to be fair, that's kind of been the track record
for the past
5 years.
That.
But you know, I was pleasantly surprised when I found it was Guerrilla. But the fact that now there's a dialogue tree, you found out that there's a little bit of an inventory system.
Yep.
And
crafting system.
Yeah, crafting system as well.
Yep.
And all that stuff I think is going to make a really fantastic game. I feel like this could be almost Sony's Zelda. Like it kind of looks like that type of scope. Like
they've said that before. I mean, Shadow of the Colossus was kind of Sony's Zelda for a while.
Sure, that's true.
And then this one, I hear a lot of comparisons to Monster Hunter.
I don't see that.
I can see those valid claims, but it does seem like it's so much of its own beast that I feel like maybe those claims are a little disjointed.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Monster Hunter. I mean, it's zoned instances. Like, it's not really open world. It's timed. There's not a lot of interaction until like, the most recent Monster Hunters. Can you actually interact and climb on the monsters and stuff like that?
Yeah.
This one is just, every time I see a new snippet of gameplay with this game, I'm just completely shocked and awed.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Monster Hunter it's kind of a button masher. I mean, you run in, you start attacking the monster, and that's really all you do.
But there's deep strategy involved.
I've not played enough of them.
I'll agree. Yeah, that could be it.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of strategy. You know, the first gameplay footage we saw of Horizon Zero Dawn was her using, like, some sort of little trap where she shot it between two rocks to trip a dinosaur so that she could, like, pin it down and get to the core, whatever they're calling that. It just looks so unique and so weird.
More than anything, and I can't speak for you two, but more than anything, I'm really curious to see how the story rationalizes robot dinosaurs and where that goes. I'm just completely intrigued.
Skynet.
Of course, it's always Skynet. But I'm really intrigued, you know, because I feel like no one's really tried something like that. You know, people have done dinosaurs, they've done robots, they've done post-apocalyptic. But, I mean, this is a weird mesh of things that I think is very...
I think what they've realized is after Pokemon Go comes out, there's going to be a post-apocalyptic world that
we
live
in.
Yes. And this is what's
going to
happen.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a simulator for what's going to happen.
Yep.
Horizon Zero Dawn is what happens post-Pokemon Go apocalypse. Oh, speaking of, I mean, that hits rather soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, isn't
July.
It August?
I thought it was sooner than that. July, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Pokemon Go, it's coming, people. It's
the end of the world is upon us.
So for me personally, my two biggest highlights, I want to say Horizon Zero Dawn, but I have to really, I've got to give one of those spots of my two biggest of the Sony show, I've got to give one to God of War. I have to hand it because I could not give a care. I could not care less about God of War leading up into this. Even even with me being a fan of Norse mythology and hearing the rumors and saying, okay, it's, yeah, sure, it's going to be a Norse mythology God of War. Cool, I guess. But, you know, I'm still thinking about that old school play style of a typical character action game of God of War. But, you know, after you've played one, two God of Wars, you've played them all. You know, you know exactly what to expect. This one really switched it up, and I've, you know, that over the shoulder, slower combat, you know, there's deeper mechanics, you're working with a partner as your son, you know, just those things. Not to mention the game is gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks like someone poured a little bit of Dark Souls in the new God
It really does. And one thing that really excites me is I'm a big fan of, like, character deformation.
Yeah.
And how they've plainly stated that each enemy in the game has a fully fleshed out physiology, in that they will get, you know, on the spot damage rendering. So if you attack them on their arms are going to get jacked up. You'll cut off the arms. You know, the insides will show. And same thing if you attack via the stomach. You know, they'll have entrails and things like that. Like, everything is pre-rendered, and, you know, it is fleshed out to such a degree. So every time you see a render of an enemy, that's actually a multi-layered physiology behind that. And
that's
pretty
cool.
And you can expose that graphically and, you know.
And very graphically.
Very, very graphically. I'm excited to see Kratos as a father. I feel like this is the team acknowledging that Kratos has been a very immature character and very immature game before now. And I feel like this is trying to push that story or that philosophy into, like, a more modern storytelling, a post-Last of Us world.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm definitely excited. And then my other spot, I've got to sit right in there with you. It's Spider-Man. Like, I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man games. My very first one that really hooked me was probably Spider-Man Maximum Carnage. And then from there, it was the Spider-Man on the original PlayStation. And then after that, everyone fell in love with Spider-Man 2. And then since Spider-Man 2, we've had some Spider-Man games, but nothing that's really just been a, you know, knock it out of the ballpark, great experience.
Was Ultimate Spider-Man, that was a game.
Ultimate Spider-Man was really good. Yeah, it was. It was missing some of the swinging mechanics and features that we got from Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, the old beat-em-ups. But yeah,
it was still a really good game, and playing as Venom was super cool. Andy, up until now, what has been your favorite Spider-Man game? Because I believe you and I both grew up playing those games. What would you say is, like, your uber-tier Spider-Man game up until now?
The only one that I really got into was the one that was on the GameCube.
The original movie? The first Tobey Maguire movie?
Yeah, that was, like, the only one that I really played. The other ones that came out, I watched you play a little bit.
Okay.
But I never played, like, the second one or even the third one. I don't know how many there's been. Like I said,
there's been way too many, and they've had tons of offshoots. Beanox took over as a team and started making the more comic book based ones, but they were never great. And then they've made two of the amazing Spider-Man games since Andrew Garfield took over. So, you know, that's been something. This new one, do you think they're going to use the new actor?
Yeah, I think that's already been established.
Is it his VO? It sounded like him.
Yeah, I think they said it was his VO.
What's his name?
His
name always escapes when you hear Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's such a new actor. Like, I think this is his first big role as well. Like, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Absolutely.
What did you think about the suit?
I love it. I love the suit. Did you like the suit, Andy?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
This is the first time I've seen a new Spider-Man suit, and I'm a Quaker when it comes to, like, things that I grew up with as a child. Like, I want everything to be just like it was when I was a kid. I love that nostalgia feed that I get, that nostalgia drip. And I'm the curmudgeoned old man when it comes to, like, oh no, you can't change that. You can't, you know, like typical mainstays that I had as a child through comic books and video games. Like, I want them to stay the same. I realize that's not always going to happen. I'm not always going to get that.
Right.
And so I need to be flexible to change to a certain degree. And I feel like this is one scenario. Like, I think this is the first time I've seen a new superhero suit and just been like, this is eye-catching, it's beautiful, and I can't wait to see that in, you know, more in gameplay.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it as well. Like, I like the way they've used, like, the red, white, and blue, like, symbol. It's kind of symbolism for America.
And that's something I didn't even piece apart until after you. I couldn't figure why I enjoyed it so much, and maybe it is, like, that inner patriot thing. I don't know, but, like, there was something in me that immediately it's clicked with.
Yeah.
And maybe that was it. Yeah, just that white. I never would have thought that a white spider would look cool.
Cool, yeah, I agree. Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure this is all speculation here, but I'm sure that in the game you'll be able to pick out different costumes and stuff.
Yeah,
every Spider-Man game.
Every single Spider-Man game since the Spider-Man on the PS1, you know, that first Spider-Man game. ever since then, everyone has had, you know, swap out costumes.
Yeah.
You know, to some
degree. There is one other game that I'd like to touch on with the Sony press conference. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised none of us had said was in our top. Death Stranding by Hideo Kojima.
I feel like we don't know enough about it.
Like, I mean, it's naked Norman Reedus holding a baby that's...
Naked Norman Reedus holding his disjointed fetus.
Yeah, this is okay. Like, yeah, I mean, can I call that for a band name? I mean, is that okay?
Reedus Fetus.
Yeah. Reedus Fetus.
Well, sadly, you know, that game is going to be just years away, so that's kind of why that's not in my top pick.
Yeah.
I think I feel the same way.
The demo they were showing, that's this one of two engines that they're using, so they're not even...
Decided on
it. Yeah, they're not... That's just a... test, basically.
Yeah, it was just basically a crapshoot in-engine trailer that they showed. Okay. Which, I mean, it did a great job of getting me excited. And, you know, I'm always going to be excited for what Hideo Kojima shows. Or, you know, what he has in development. But that's just the thing. Like, I'm right there with Andy. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that game, whatever it becomes, I'm sure it'll be awesome. But I feel like it's going to be so far out there that I can't make myself care about it too much because there's so many great things coming out within the next 6 months.
Yeah, and the thing with Kojima is, let's just be honest, like with Metal Gear Solid 5, where he was like mocapping a cantaloupe rolling off a table so that he could figure out what the physics behind that should be. Like, I wonder how he's going to like mocap a baby coming out of a male human.
Absolutely.
Like, but
can we just say like how wildly, if this what we saw is actually in the game, I feel like there's going to be a ton of controversy behind this.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, especially from your typical cornbread American, they're going to be super offended by the fact that, like, a baby got C-sectioned out of a man.
Yeah.
Like, whatever that story is, we have no idea. The crazy sci-fi whatever.
But there's five dudes up in the sky that are just waiting for Norman Reedus and his baby.
That could not even end up being the game. This could just be, like, his art movie or his art film teaming up with his buddy Norman Reedus to, like, stick it to the man, you know, Konami.
Yeah, I with Kojima, you never know.
He
is just such a weird
dude. Well, I heard it's very symbolic in that Norman Reedus only has one hand handcuffed. So he's got that escape, you know, kind of thing going on. That's, you know, an homage to him leaving Konami. And then him protecting a baby that has been stolen from him, you know, an homage to, you know, a lead-in symbolism for Metal Gear.
Yeah.
And then, think about it, there are five guys in the sky, and there are five main Metal Gear games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, each being a different timeline snake, or a different snake, or in some case, the same snake, but in a different period of time, is what I'm going to say. It could just be an art film. It could end up being just that. And this is just kind of, you know, getting people excited and ramped up for what he could be making next.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm completely down with what he does, but I do feel like, just like Andy said, I feel like it's just years out there.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, are you offended by Norman Reedus's fetus?
No, I love it.
That's a good answer.
I want to take care of it.
Well, one that I'm actually surprised, you know, to move away from Death Stranding, one I'm surprised that all three of us didn't bring up, this is my shock, is that Days Gone.
Yeah.
Days Gone looks...
It looks like a game.
It looks like a zombie game. Visually, it looks pretty. It's Last of Us. It is Last of Us, but without the clickers. Can we just throw that out there?
Yeah, I think that's good enough. I mean, one thing that I will say that I was impressed with was the amount of movement they had on screen.
Absolutely.
With the zombies. Yeah. Like, there was a ton of zombies
on
the screen.
And we all know, anyone who saw that gameplay immediately said World War Z.
Yeah.
Because it looks just like the zombies in World War Z, like how they move very fluidly.
Yeah, very running, yeah.
Climbing over each other, turning themselves into a flood of bodies, basically.
Just an amalgam of, like, dead.
Absolutely, yeah. It just looks like an anthill erupting, but instead of ants, you have, you know, zombie corpses or whatever they are.
And I'm not super excited about that one, to be honest. Like, I mean, it looked okay, but I don't think that they showed me anything that where I was like, oh my God, I have to play this.
My whole thing is, I'm watching it, I'm excited, the graphics look good. I can be tempted by the story, you know, because I feel like what little story we got there was pulled off well, and, you know, it was nice drama-esque, emotional, horror, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I feel like the problem is that they just don't... They kept showing me moments where I'm almost yelling at the screen and saying, stop turning around and shooting at this giant flood of zombies and run. Like, why are you turning around and shooting? I get it. Your game's pretty. The flood mechanics are cool. But run.
I think my biggest issue with the game was that it didn't have its own personality. It felt like it relied heavily on The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Like, And I mean, I've played The Last of Us. It was a good game, but I don't need to do that again.
Last of Us meets the I'm forgetting the name of the show, the biker show.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. I knew it had Anarchy in the title. Yeah, I mean, I half expected Ron Perlman to pop up out of nowhere and start, you know, beating zombies.
Oh man,
in the head.
If Ron Perlman popped up, but as Hellboy. Okay. Oh man, I would. Okay. You have me, Sony.
Let's do it. Yeah, this game now has its own personality.
Yep.
Well, on a little side note, they're actually not zombies. They're alive.
Yeah, they're infected, right? I heard that as well.
They eat. They sleep. They stay grouped up together. But yeah, they're not zombies. But that's
so. It's kind of like the what was the name of that movie?
I'm Legend.
Yep. Well, yep. I shouldn't say movie, but book, because I hear the book was a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Omega Man, or was it I'm Legend, then Omega Man, then I'm Legend again?
I think it was that.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see that. I'm sure I'll play that game. I may even end up buying it day one, but it's something that I need to see more to make it its own product.
I still think that one's going to be in the year next year, because they didn't give a release date for it.
Yeah, no way is that early year next year.
Yeah.
I think possibly not even next year. I mean, yeah. it did seem like one of those things that it was a very controlled gameplay demo that they showed.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with as much as he was turning around and taking care of the flood of zombies and shooting at them, as opposed to like running away or showing this open world. Because they did say that it was an open world game.
Right.
So, but I mean, think about how little of that open world that we saw.
There was two trailers for it. So
yeah, definitely.
Like a lot of people think that something happened with Sony. They were planning on showing something else in that spot.
It was Neo. That's what I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. The rumor that I heard was that the other trailer they were going to show was for Red Dead 2.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard as well.
Red Dead Redemption 2. But the rumor is that the reason that they pulled it was because of the recent shooting in Orlando.
Yeah.
And the connection between the two is that apparently the trailer for Red Dead 2, and once again, this is all conjecture, all rumor, that in the Red Dead 2 trailer, it takes place in a bar, and there's a pretty, you know, big shootout that happens in this bar. So that could be. Who knows?
Yeah.
I know that there was a lot of buzz and a lot of rumor behind Red Dead 2 leading into E3, and I think all the rumors that we heard beforehand came to be true, minus that one.
My guess is, once again, conjecture, I think we'll see it at TGS.
Maybe. But Rockstar isn't necessarily the typical, you know, game publisher that would, you know, attend a TGS or be
a big
part of that.
Yeah, but I mean,
because TGS is Tokyo Game Show, for those that don't know.
Sorry, Tokyo Game Show. But they're such a big company, like, you can't say that their games aren't popular everywhere.
No, and it's not that at all. It's just that Rockstar, you know, dances to the beat of its own drum.
Yeah, that is very true.
Rockstar's kind of like Nintendo. They do whatever the hell they want, and they do it when they want.
That is very true.
You know, there have been plenty of times where they probably should have done this, or, you know, fans were crying out for that. But there's no, we do things the way that we do them. If you don't like it, then you don't have to play our games.
Yeah, that's true. Is everyone happy with what we talked about with Sony?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I move on to Microsoft. Let's put it this way. I actually saw things I'm excited for.
Yeah. Mind if I start?
Absolutely.
I'll just name two things off the bat. The two games I'm probably most excited for out of Microsoft was Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves, yeah. Mm-hmm. That game looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
What
is Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves is a pirate-y first-person, like, team, I guess, game.
Yeah.
It looks very weird. You take control of ships, and you and your group of friends will work the ship. You can work the sails. Mm-hmm. You can bail water if you get shot. You can shoot cannons.
Yep. And
it looks like you're basically going to have like a playground on your ship. You can go out to the middle of the ocean and go diving for treasure.
Yep.
It looks really unique.
A complete open world pirate experience.
Yeah, and it's being made by Rare Studios, so
that's super exciting.
Yeah,
we have wanted Rare to do something grand for many years.
Yeah, the last great game they made was Viva Pinata.
Negative.
No.
Killer Instinct Season 1.
Okay. I thought you were about to say Viva Pinata was not a good game. No, then we were going to have a fist fight.
right here in the podcast, fist fight. No, Viva Pinata is a great game, but no, if we're talking on a timeline, Killer Instinct Season 1.
I didn't even think about that, to be honest.
Before Iron Galaxy took over and did Season 2 and 3, I've got to give it to Rare on that, because I mean, they did do the framework and the basic architecture of that game. So it is it's very exciting to see them finally do something big and grandiose again.
Yeah, definitely. And almost everyone I've talked to said Sea of Thieves looks great.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing I'm kind of disappointed in is they didn't give a release date.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been cooking for about 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. So you know that, well, allegedly 2.5 years. So you know that it's pretty far along the development process. The other thing that I was excited for about from the Microsoft conference was the fact, what, it wasn't a game at all, but it's the fact that everything's coming to PC as well.
Yes. This is why I can be excited. This is precisely what I'm talking about. Like, I have a reason to care about Microsoft games again. I mean, it's not like they haven't done great things with the Xbox One or unique things, or, you know, I know that there's a fan base for that, but it's just, It's not my console. Yeah. To each his own. It's all relative in gaming. You know, no matter what you play on, no matter what you game on, that's fine, man. I mean, that's
what you want to do. Yeah,
absolutely.
I personally didn't like the way the Xbox One was set up.
Mm-hmm.
I had an Xbox 360 and loved it, but I mean, I fell in love with the PlayStation 4, and you know, it felt like I was cluttering up my den whenever I had the Xbox One because it's so big and bulky.
Yep.
But yeah, now that I can play things on my PC,
Well, here's the funny thing about that. Phil Spencer stated in a recent interview that one of the things that was a huge crux for them supporting that and him being able to push that to Microsoft proper was that Killer Instinct did really, really, and still does really, really well on the PC.
Nice.
Sold really well. So this was kind of like a test bed for them with... You know, should we be bringing more of our Xbox One games to Windows?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they've made the right decision. I've read some clamoring on Reddit where people are saying that they feel like they deserve more granular control with these, Windows 10 games, and they want mod support and all that stuff, and that's fine. But I think at the end of the day, people need to realize at least we're getting these games on PC.
Yeah.
Because, like, before you didn't get a Gears of War 4 on PC. You would, you know, have to buy another $400 console.
Absolutely.
I feel like people are just nitpicking at that point.
I feel like Microsoft is put between a rock and a hard place where Sony is just selling gangbusters with their console. So they're in that position where they need to sell, they need to make money with the Microsoft name. But they're having a hard time doing so with the console proper. So, you know, their second best bet is to go to the Microsoft Windows architecture, sell their games that way, which people have been clamoring for years now anyways. So that's really exciting. Andy, is this something you care about at all? Will you be tempted to pick up something on that? Or are you're still an Xbox One owner, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I've got an Xbox One, but I never really play it. But okay. Microsoft, they had a really good conference. It was one of those things where a lot of people were kind of speculating that they had the best conference of the show, but it was Microsoft went first and then Sony went later that night. But yeah, everyone was kind of predicting that Microsoft had this one in the bag as far as like the best conference of E3.
Yeah, yeah.
Sony came out and outdid them somehow.
Absolutely.
Everyone was really surprised, but Microsoft...
I do still feel like it was solid, though, right? Like,
yeah, it was solid. They've been going at it for the past few years, heading into the right direction, and I think this was their big moment, and sadly, they got outdone again, but they still had a good conference.
But I don't feel like they came out of it like with anyone making fun of Microsoft or anyone badgering them for having a lackluster, you know, recording or a lackluster presentation.
As far as my, like, two picks would go, like, I don't think... I'm not really too excited for anything as far as the games go. I think one of the coolest announcements they did was probably the customizable controllers.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what they named that. It was like Microsoft Ink or something.
Those are really cool,
But yeah.
I had that linked to me because I didn't even see it in the presentation proper, but that is really awesome. We need that on Sony's front.
Yeah, like I love customization when it comes to controllers and even color schemes to your console. So having that from an Xbox point of view is really awesome. I wish last year they came out and did the Pro controller or the Elite controller, which had this.
Isn't that with like all the crazy buttons on?
Yeah, it was
like the
big fancy controller with the back paddles, and you could hotkey them and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's something I would love to have from Sony as well. But
well, my question is, Did the or even now, do you know if the Xbox One controller is compatible with the PC?
It is.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something if that's the case, like, that makes me really tempted to get this new controller.
Yeah, I was really liked it, which Sony would implement that too, but doubtful.
Did you see the Sea of Thieves? Did you?
I did, and they showed it last year, and
okay, I don't remember them showing it last year.
I got excited when I saw it last year, and they were really vague about the game last year. And
okay.
It's one of those things, after I saw it, I was excited because I love pirate stuff. You know, especially after Uncharted 4, it was pirate-themed. And after that, I had to watch a show called Black Sails.
I've heard that's really good, yeah.
It was. I loved it. And so, really big into pirates. So when I saw it last year, I was like, oh, yeah, that looks awesome. But my number one fear for the game has came true, that it's going to be online play, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like there's going to be any type of single player content so that's disappointing.
No, it's definitely going to be focused on a crew. Yeah. And they did say it's four people to a crew.
But you can have two crews on a ship, I thought. Like, because I thought they said that you can have up to eight people on one ship and still be doing
it. I believe that's right. Yeah, I believe you're correct.
So for me, it's a little disappointing because I've been kind of moving away from multiplayer games here in mm-hmm. recent years, just because it's hard to keep up with everyone's schedule and trying to get
that
on at the same time. So for me, it's more about the single player content and the lack of that for Sea of Thieves.
Well, then here's my question. Have you guys, maybe you two can confirm it for me, or you know, maybe you haven't heard either, but if this is going to be on a Windows 10 and all their games going forward are, you know, I say all their games in air quotes because we don't know exactly for sure, but it seems like all the Xbox One games are also going to make it to Windows 10. Of those games that are multiplayer, will they be cross-play compatible? So, like, Sea of Thieves, for instance, if I have a buddy, say Andy decides to one day pick it up on an Xbox One, I'm playing on Windows 10, have they confirmed whether or not we'll be able to cross-play?
From what I've read, I think that everything's going to be cross-play. I think you can do you can already do cross-platform parties, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think the only caveat, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong here, from what I remember reading, I think if you want to do a party and play with someone, if you're a PC playing with an Xbox One owner, I do think you have to pay for Xbox Live.
Okay.
I think that's the caveat, is to play cross-platform, you have to pay for that live subscription.
Okay.
Which I think, you know, that's fair enough.
Depending on the game and, you know, how great Sea of Thieves ends up being.
Right.
There could be that temptation factor.
Yeah, I mean, because that puts that game at, it's $60 for the game, $60 for their yearly subscription, so that puts it at $120.
But man, I can't help it. Like, I'm excited that I'm excited for Microsoft stuff again.
Yeah, definitely. Have you guys talked about ReCore at all?
No, haven't mentioned ReCore.
No, not yet.
Yeah,
Was that your next one, Andy?
No.
Okay.
I was probably going to say the unifying of the platforms, PC, Xbox One.
Yeah, definitely.
That was really cool. But ReCore, it looks good. I mean, the only problem is I think they came out and said it was going to be a $40 game.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean.
Oh, that makes me worried about
it
a little bit.
Yeah, it looks.
For me, that makes me more excited.
It definitely looks like
you two are worried it'll be a budget title.
Yeah.
Me, I'm a little more enticed because with what I've seen already, I hate to say, you know, I don't feel like it's worth that, but I haven't seen anything that's enticed me to such a degree where I want to justify setting aside $60 for it.
Sure.
I feel like maybe I've seen enough already that I could probably justify $40. So, you know, that.
Yeah, like, I was a big fan of Cameo.
Okay. Elements of Power.
Yeah.
The 360 one.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
Yeah, fantastic game. And that's kind of
the same team.
Yeah, Rare. Different team for
ReCore.
It's
the B team for Rare, though. I think, is the A team working on Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, but I don't think that Rare's doing ReCore.
No, they're not.
No, it's a different company. It's a different group. I don't remember who they are.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, either way, that ReCore kind of gave me that same feeling of Cameo, like that platformer where you have to change out in order to make, you know, like you have to change out your little robot to do different things like climb the environment or to do combat and stuff like that. And I've always enjoyed those games, you know. It's just like a Ratchet and Clank game.
Well, I don't know why. I made the immediate assumption that ReCore was a Rare game as well. And maybe that's just, maybe the developer should take that to mind because, or take that to heart, because that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm mistaking your game for a Rare game,
fair.
I think your art design is top notch then.
Yeah. John, what were your two things from
Oh, hallelujah.
From
it was, it, man, Sea of Thieves, absolutely. You know, being able to jump in a party and having, I'm weird. I get into like to the funny technical details, like seeing how the water moves and seeing like how it cascades with the ship. And
oh man, those
the ship.
Hurricanes!
Absolutely. And then the best part is seeing the damage on the ships themselves. You know, sure you can explore the islands and do all this like you know deep you know mystery Pirates of the Caribbean / Uncharted things
Goonies.
Yeah, / Goonies. You know, you find chests and open them up, fight skeletons and you know all these typical things that you would expect from a pirate fare. But the thing that really got me going was seeing the deformation of the ship and the destruction on the ships themselves. Yeah. You know, hit with a cannonball or you know the ship on ship, seeing one ship you know completely broadside and ram into another one and watching the ship like crumble in those ways and then having the crew go down up you know inside the ship and patching it from the inside while water is spewing in.
You've got other crew members who are taking buckets of water out to throw it out.
Oh my god, that's so
that's super
amazing.
Exciting.
Things like that really excite me. This game is like a pipe for me, just visually, just seeing what we've seen so far. It's a pirate version of what we played recently, Pulsar, The Lost Colony. Yeah. And, you know, whereas Pulsar is a sci-fi, you know, take on Star Trek, you know, where you have individual crewmates who are you know, dependent on different things, like your science officer, your engineering, your weapon specialist, your captain. I feel like the Sea of Thieves can be the same way, but for pirates. And that really has me excited.
Yeah, and there's a game similar to that on Steam called Naval Commander. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it looks very similar.
Steam is like a black hole anymore.
Yeah, there's just so much stuff.
There's so much stuff, and I feel like we see 10% of what is actually there.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe 40% of what's in Steam at this point is just maybe garbage.
Sure. Okay. Sure, absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to overstep my bounds there.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's some really good things in Steam that we won't find. They're like happy accidents.
Yeah. I mean, Pulsar was one of those for us. So.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah, on point. And then my second biggest one, oh my god, I want to play Dead Rising 4. Guys,
really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Okay, Kenny, you have to understand a bit. John likes zombies.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I grew up watching zombie movies with my mother and my sister. Like, that was just, you like B-movies.
Sure.
So
I'll give you that, yeah.
I like B-movies. Specifically, I really like zombie movies.
Okay.
Even the worst
ones. That's fair.
And so, Dead Rising 4, I've been a fan of the whole Dead Rising series. I had to skip out on 3 because I don't have an Xbox One.
Right.
It's on PC, but I hear that it's a crapshoot whether or not your PC will play it. Even with high-end machines, I hear it's a crapshoot. And it hasn't been down to a price that I'm willing to take that chance on it yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe if it gets down to, you know, $12, $10, something like that, I'll take that chance. But up until then, nah. But Dead Rising 4 will be on Windows 10.
Yeah.
And here's the best part. Frank West, the seminal character Frank West, is back.
Yeah.
He's going back to Willamette, the original place that the original Dead Rising took place. The mall.
Okay.
To Willamette. But it looks like it'll be more than just the mall this time.
Okay.
So going back to Willamette. But here's the best part, Kenny. Andy, best part. Frank West, Willamette, Christmas.
Yeah, still not got me.
Oh, how does that not do it for you?
I played the first Dead Rising game, and it was weird.
Yeah, it's like, a Japanese game. Of course it's weird.
Yeah, but like...
You want to talk weird, Kitty? Play Deadly Premonition and walk away from that. You will not think Dead Rising's weird anymore.
I don't know, because like the thing I didn't understand about Dead Rising, the first one, it was supposed to be like this fun, arcade-y like shooter, but... Damn it, that game was hard.
Yeah,
like,
it was
that
really
game
hard.
Was stupid hard.
Yeah.
The
bosses were crazy hard, and the time limit made the base game hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they rectified that with later iterations. It was the second release of Dead Rising 2 took away the time limit, and I hear 3 did without the time limit as well.
Okay.
And 4, I'm willing to bet that they're modernizing it to a degree where the time limit, once again, will be removed, or there's an option to switch it off.
I just don't have fun with games that make me play on a time limit, because
it
stresses me out.
I completely see that, yeah, and that's why I enjoyed the second release of Dead Rising 2 so much. I mean, I've enjoyed all of them, but once they took away that time scale, you know, the being able to miss out on huge chunks of the game, forcing you to replay it just for that sake. Once they took that out, I was very happy, and I've enjoyed the series even more since then. But Dead Rising 4 is just like this happy culmination of just this great zombie B-movie that I can't wait to play.
Okay, that's fair.
That's my thing. It feels fun to be excited for Microsoft games again legitimately and not have to sit here and pretend to be into it.
Sure, yeah, that's very fair.
I mean, granted, I'm still a Sony guy, but I mean, hey, you know, I'm down for playing games wherever they come from as long as they're fun.
So guys, are we ready to all just say the one game that we're excited from?
Zelda!
Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that there's really two that we could be excited for besides...
Can we walk out the back door right now, get on the roof, and just scream...
Zelda?
Breath of the Wild?
Yeah. Yeah, so you are you guys excited?
Andy?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you dress as Link.
Yeah, I'm excited. Of course, it was only a game they had to show off, so...
Well, I mean, to be fair, they had Pokemon and
Pokemon, and they had Ever Oasis, looked like a neat 3DS game. I mean, they had other stuff, and they had other stuff that actually looked legitimately good and stuff that I am interested in. But mother of God, like Zelda, if Sony's press conference wasn't so good, I would say Nintendo just owned it all.
But, you know, it's hard to say that because they only showed off one thing.
They only needed to. This is revolutionary.
I'm excited for Zelda, but this has been a long time coming, so...
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those things that I'm excited for, but at the same time, I'm just saying, like, finally, this is happening. This should have happened. You know, the thing about, you know, Zelda has inspired a lot of games, you know, and I feel like Zelda set the bar, and that was it. Other games, other developers took inspiration from Zelda and then kept pushing the limit.
Yeah.
Whereas Zelda stayed the same every time.
Here's the funny thing. You say that. Two of the biggest series now in gaming were directly inspired by the very first Zelda game.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls was inspired by the original Zelda. The creators have come out and said that. The developers just flat out. The original Zelda was a huge game for us. You know who said the exact same thing?
Who's that?
The lead developer on Dark Souls.
But is that really the biggest game?
I'm sorry. Do not take away from Dark Souls.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't get that. You don't get that.
I want to be a pessimist.
Yeah, you want to be a pessimist. Dark Souls is legitimately one of the biggest series in gaming now. I will hands down say that.
Okay, fair enough.
You have to realize that we're becoming the old men amongst gaming.
That's true.
Amongst our... You know, the tail end of our generation and the younger generation, the Soul series is kind of freaking huge.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But Zelda,
It's nice to see Zelda finally doing something out of the box, you know. They're taking inspirations from other games. While they should have been the inspiration, you know, just they never should have stopped being the inspiration. But now they're having to take inspiration from other games. But I'm glad.
Catch up, right?
Yeah, they're trying to play catch up, but I'm glad they are now. I feel like Nintendo, I feel like they're in a vacuum to where like they're oblivious to the outside
world. And they've been like that for years and years and years now.
I mean, the last Zelda game that I liked was probably Wind Waker. Twilight Princess, I played it.
To be fair though, I remember after we first played it when it was originally out, you enjoyed it then.
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't. But that was it. I enjoyed it. It was a Zelda game.
You weren't a hardcore fan of it like myself.
It was what you would expect from a Zelda game, you know?
Yeah, it was a lot of pace of Zelda.
Moving on to the next game, it was Skyward Sword. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I was super excited for that one. I know we both were
really excited.
And that game was just a major, it was a letdown. I mean, I actually played, I don't think you ever finished it, did you?
No, I couldn't. I repurchased that game 3 times. I bought it when it originally came out, you know, paid the full price, got it on sale the next time after traded in, and then I ended up doing the exact same thing a third time because I just felt bad. Like, I've played and beat every Zelda game up until that point. And so it's the only series where I felt like I have to play it and beat it just because it's Zelda. And I got to the point where I was like, something's wrong with me. Like, maybe what has changed in me? I should enjoy this game. And each time I would get to about the same spot and just be like, I can't do it. Like, this game is just, you know, I understand there's people out there that are even going to listen to this and say, I really like Skyward Sword. I get that. I respect your point of view. But I just, with me, I don't like Skyward Sword. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. And so seeing Breath of the Wild, it's everything that Skyward Sword should have been. It's that next tier, that evolution of Zelda proper that we just haven't seen, and that's why it's so exciting.
I'm going to say this and probably get a little flack for it from you guys, but I'm excited, but I'm also kind of apathetic. Like, I can see John is like about to like explode over here.
Shooting my eye lasers.
The reason being, Nintendo, yes, the new Zelda looks incredible, and yeah, they're getting some help from some PC developers to help maximize the output of their console and all that stuff. But my big issue with Zelda is I feel like this is too little too late. Like, yeah, Zelda's going to be huge, and it's going to be a massive game, but Nintendo, it's like Nintendo's late to their own party.
I see your perspective, but too late for what? Like, well, they don't have anything else to do. So
it is in a really bad position.
Yeah. I mean,
the Wii U doesn't have a huge install base. The NX is just coming out next year, and it.
Yeah, and they've still not given us much or any information on the NX. They just said it's going to be happening. The
NX was going to sell, so it's going to be. I mean, I think it's going to be a great game, but I think it might just be stranded.
I feel like it might fall on deaf ears. Like you're going to have this amazing game, and no one's going to want to play it because no one wants to buy Nintendo's newest piece of hardware, or they don't want to go back and rebuy the Wii U.
Well, I mean, we've all known that. We've said amongst our crowd that the NX, this is their end-all be-all. Like this can either be the greatest thing for Nintendo, or this is the swan song. This is what inserts the fat lady singing, and then Nintendo is done as a hardware company. But I mean, aside from that, like Zelda looks so good because it has to. They don't have a choice. They're having to pour every bit of their oomph into this game to make it, you know, this stellar game. And I feel like a lot of your woes come from the fact that, you know, we've been beaten down as Zelda, or not a Zelda fan, but as Nintendo fans. You know, we've been beaten down as Nintendo fans in recent years.
And honestly, I feel like looking at my Wii U library, almost everything I have is either A, a sequel, B, a remake. Like, the only game I think I have that is a straight-up new IP on the Wii U is Splatoon.
Yeah. I have Splatoon, and can we count Xenoblade Chronicles X? Really not, because it's a sequel.
It's a sequel?
So it's a pseudo-sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from a series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, that'd be like counting, like, the Harvest Moon sequels.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's true. But yeah, Splatoon. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, like, it's just one of those things where, for me, I love Zelda. I, you know, grew up playing them. They were great games when I was a kid, and I still will go back and play, you know, Majora's Mask and... Mm-hmm. Ocarina of Time on a yearly basis, but like I just don't know if I can be excited for Nintendo to push out another Zelda game, and then if it fails, it's just gonna be so sad to see
them fall. Thing is, I've said for years, like, show me a CG trailer, you know, top of the line CG trailer, great, you know, you paid X amount of dollars for a top of the line CG trailer. That is in no way representative of what I'm gonna be playing. I don't need that.
Yeah,
but they showed us a lot of gameplay.
They did.
And they showed how big the world map's going to be.
Yeah.
And they also showed...
how pretty the game is.
How pretty the game is, how interactive it is, you know, the crafting, the cooking, all these different elements. Just all these little things that culminated into just this perfect beast for me visually. So if I get even a fragment of what that game is promising to be, I'm completely happy. You know, I'm sad Nintendo's in the shape that it is now. But I feel a little vindicated in the sense that finally we're getting that game that we need.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll be happy if we just get it and it's okay. I mean, I want this game to make me feel like a kid again. Because
if
it doesn't, I think that is it for Nintendo. I think they just need to hang it up.
I get that. And there's a lot of sci-fi elements that we're seeing from the gameplay as well. Did you guys pick up on that?
I didn't know.
Okay, if you watch, there's Bill Trennan gameplay. And he's sitting there playing the introductory of what's supposedly the very intro opening to the game. It even has voice acting. Like, I almost, like, fell over dead watching it because there's voice acting in a Zelda game, number one. But second off, Link gets out of this, like, revitalization clone vat. Like, a very sci-fi, alien-esque, weird, birthing
chamber. So, like, Lazarus Pit.
Kind of like a Lazarus Pit, yeah. But it was really neat, and I'm really excited to see where that stuff goes. It felt like maybe there's ancient civilization or something, you know, in that realm to where they're meshing sci-fi and fantasy. I found that really intriguing. Andy, did you see that at all?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that where he's coming out of the
revitalization chamber.
Almost like the beginning of Doom.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I actually heard that Link.
Oh God, you know what that means. We're getting Doom Guy in
Doom
Zelda.
Guy is actually Link.
Oh, it all makes sense though, because you never see Doom Guy's face in the newest Doom.
True. So question: in Doom, should they put a fairy that follows you around?
They kind of already do that. I mean, you do have, what's his face, the robot voice in your head.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
That's really
my
a fairy.
Mind is now blown.
You just can't see it because it's right behind your head in the first person.
I know.
Time.
He never said, hey, listen, but.
That's true.
We've evolved past that at that point. By that point, Pokemon Go has ruined the world, and we have gotten to the point where everything is just this dystopian, horrible place where demons exist.
I like it.
Yeah. We've come full circle, guys.
Okay, so we know that in the newest Zelda, at least with the amiibo, the Wolf Link amiibo, you can have a Wolf companion. You can have Wolf Link by regular Link. That's kind of trippy. Beside Link. Okay, that kind of arises the fact that maybe there's other companions in the game.
Sure.
Because I don't think Nintendo's one to like just throw a one-off like that and to just say, oh, you can only have a companion if you have this amiibo. I think that's part of a bigger system.
So, probably.
No, here's where I'm going with this, Kenny. What if Pokemon Go...
Okay, I'm listening.
What if Pokemon Go plays into the new Zelda? You catch them on your phone, and then you send them to Link.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And then, by the end of the new Zelda game, he's totally wearing tires on his shoulder, and he's got a chain around his waist.
And then he goes to sleep, and then... At the end of that game, it asks you to put in the Doom disc.
Absolutely. And then from there, you jumped into the first person, and you're just playing through 2016 Doom.
Yep. Or the first Doom. Whatever you want to play through. I mean, it's all dependent on your personality.
It's the BFG edition of Zelda. Oh, this is terrible.
We came full circle, guys.
So, Andy, how do you feel about Zelda? Do you have any more thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we're finally getting this game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think Twilight Princess should have been this game, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, remember when we were kids, we wanted Twilight Princess so bad. We wanted that mature Zelda. And I think Nintendo, from one standpoint, said, oh, you just want visual maturity. You know, but that wasn't it. We didn't want just visual maturity. We wanted gameplay fidelity. And I feel like this one delivers that gameplay fidelity. This is our mature Zelda that we wanted. It doesn't have to be, you know, bloody and realistic, photorealistic graphics. This is the maturity I wanted.
Yeah.
I really liked the fact that you can climb anything, basically.
It's super cool.
You do have a stamina bar, but when you're climbing,
yep.
As long as you're not, like, jumping, like Assassin's Creed jumping, mm-hmm. It depletes fairly slowly.
And you can increase your stamina by what you eat.
Yeah.
And the fact that once you're getting on top of a mountaintop, you know, if it's in your snowy weather, if it's snow, you can hop on your shield and ride down like a mm-hmm. snowboard. And you have, I guess, the leaf is back where you can kind of hang glide down. We saw what the different weapons you could pick up and use.
Yeah,
which is
any
awesome.
Of the weapons that you see in the game.
And there was a magnet. Did you see the magnet?
Yeah. You become Magneto.
Yep. You get this magnet, which you can, like, pick. I think you can pick up anything that's metal in the game. So I saw it used in this one puzzle where there's a metal bridge in the water, and mm-hmm. Link picked it up, moved it over, and used it as a platform.
Yeah, I saw that one.
One thing I didn't see, which I heard just today, actually, was that you could actually, with Link, you throw your sword and then use the magnet to use it as, like, a ranged weapon.
What?
Huh.
Yeah, that was in that was in the demo that someone played.
That's the out-of-the-box thinking that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Bill Trennan was on one of the interviews, you know, giving an audio, you know, recording afterwards, doing a private interview, and he said the way that they were testing the game originally, some of the Treehouse people were over his shoulder watching him play some of these dungeons and saying, like, no, that's not how you do this. You can't do it that way. Go back. Do it this way. And he's like, no, leave me alone. I'm going to play this game the way I want to play it. If I mess up, I mess up, and I'll do it my own way.
Yeah.
And he said that every time he would finish the dungeon in a way that was out of the box and they never thought of. And so they're like, wow, this is the first Zelda game that is giving us options. Like, it's not hit point A, B, C, and D. Even within it, because of the new physics engine, that you can play with things in such a way that each of the dungeons become much more free-form.
You know, one thing I am kind of hoping for is... You know, you see the climbing and all that stuff. I'm kind of hoping for a little bit of Shadow Colossus in this.
Yeah,
like, where you can climb bosses and...
I think everyone is kind of thinking that there will be, like, these greater enemies that maybe you have to climb and...
Yeah,
you know,
and I'm hoping that's kind of there, That would be super cool.
Yes!
Yeah, you got your weather change in the game as well.
And yeah, absolutely.
One thing that was unique and pretty cool is the fact that if it turns cold or winter, you got to put more clothes on to keep yourself warm.
And you can eat a spicy chili pepper or make spicy food to keep your body warmth up when you go through all these areas temporarily. And,
you guys are starting to sell me on the game a little bit more.
I know, right?
And one thing
it's
that's
so neat.
Really cool to me is, like, there's these shrines.
Mm-hmm.
There's like I think I heard 100 shrines in the game.
Yeah, which are like mini dungeons.
Which are mini dungeons. I saw one of the shrines in one of the demos
watched. Put it in perspective, you have many, many dungeons.
Yeah.
Right.
I was watching a shrine being played in one of the demos I saw, and it looked really cool. It looked like a shrine would be like at least 2 to 3 floors of mm-hmm. what a regular dungeon would be.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, a mini dungeon, just 2 to 3 floors. And I mean, 100, that's crazy, you know. And plus the regular dungeons, I think it's 8, I suppose.
Yep. It's really neat. And I feel like it's that, you know, there were tons of dungeons that were taken out of Wind Waker, and then there was one taken out of Twilight Princess, and I feel like this is the one that they're just giving it their all. They're just like, hey, we've got this creative team, we've got these great ideas, let's just all or nothing, you know, every bit of it. So
and
we really...
They kind of need that, right?
Absolutely.
Like, if this... Once again, I say that, I said this earlier, but if this game fails, then I think that's it for Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think that you can only make so many Mario games, and I think that everyone has hit their limit with Mario games, with Yoshi games, with Kirby games. We want to see something that's revolutionary.
Yeah, and even if the Wii U, even if there's very little Wii U owners right now, and people, you know, the NX, we don't know what it is, it hasn't proven itself, who knows how many people will buy it. I'm one of the people that, like Andy, is a given. Like, I'm going to buy it, and that's Nintendo's last chance with me. But the thing is, like, it's that out-of-the-box thinking, like Andy's talking about. Like, throw your sword, use the magnet, now you're using it as a ranged weapon. Like, things like that. Things like, it turns out, if you have the fire wand, say you see a chicken. In the game, there's a cooking, you know, mechanic. And that cooking mechanic has buffs, you know, like actual, you know, you can withstand cold, you know, longer. And all these different buffs that you can equip or, you know, take part of after eating food. You can either just eat raw chicken or, you know, eat this chicken in a certain way and it gives you just health, right?
Right.
Okay, say you have the fire wand and you use that fire wand on a live chicken.
Yeah.
It not only kills the chicken, but it auto-cooks it as well, so you have a roast chicken.
So let me ask you this. Did they show off if you beat up a lot of chickens, do like a ton of chickens start attacking
you? They didn't show
you?
That, but I assume it's been in every Zelda game since, what, Link to the Past?
Yeah.
Literally
so I feel
everyone.
Like they need to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The chickens are invincible unless they get roasted by a fire wand.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that pretty much does it for E3. I mean, sure, we can move on to, like, the Ubisoft and Konami stuff and all these other branches out. There's not enough meat there for those. I mean, I think those will have their day.
Yeah, is there anything you guys want to mention from those? That
Ghost Recon could be cool multiplayer. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it flat, keep it skinny. I want to wrap up this E3 because I feel like we got some nice meaty chunks out of this. Did you guys have anything from any of the additional conferences, Andy? That you just really want to give a shout out to real quick?
Oh, shout out to South Park.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, South Park looks amazing. I can't wait to play that. Make your own superhero in the South Park world and, you know, be awesome.
Yeah.
Kenny, is there anything else?
Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
That's something I'm really looking forward to. So I really like what they showed off in the Sony conference.
Definitely.
Definitely. And the VR thing kind of looks weird.
Interesting. Interesting.
I would go with weird.
Yeah, or weird.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah. That's about it.
That's been E3. Guys, it was a great E3. You know, we've said that this was the last E3. Do you still think that's the case?
I think...
One more, maybe? One more
E3? maybe more, like... Because I feel
it's definitely smaller than it used to be.
Yeah. Know? And I think now, with E3, like, I feel like we're at a point where we're still not sure why E3 still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sony showed off all those cool games, but they could have done that next month in 2 months in August at Tokyo Game Show. And Microsoft has their own event coming up, I think, in September or so.
Yeah. It's much more scaled down from everyone that attended, and it's one of those things that I'm actually more tempted to visit E3 in the future, because they said it's much easier to maneuver and get around.
Yeah.
And they still had a good showing this year.
Yeah.
So maybe next year we might see a hardly casual visit to E3. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, if money allows it, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I don't see E3 going anywhere anytime soon. Even if they do stop the typical conferences,
it's a shoe-in.
I still think that we'll see stuff during E3 week.
Yeah.
It may not take place in...
E3 maybe just become eventually just a online
presence. I see it more like to be like PAX, it's a small enough event where people want to go.
Or maybe it becomes like that. It becomes a holiday. It becomes like an online internet holiday.
It basically is already a holiday.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
For the longest time I can remember, I always look forward to E3 week. Even the people who like kind of that I know that fell out of games.
Yeah.
They still know what E3 is, and
they do.
I mean, they don't know your PAXes. They don't know your Paris Games Weeks or GamesCon. They don't know any of that, but they know E3 still.
Yep.
I mean, I was talking to a buddy over E3 a week, and he doesn't really play much, but he knew of E3 and knew it was happening. So it's big. Gamers know of it. It is like a holiday week. That's how I treat it. E3 week is... I always look forward to it. This one was... I feel like the past 4 years, they just keep getting better and better for me. Basically, since the announcement of the PS4, I feel like Sony, and they've been doing great stuff, and Microsoft trying to catch up.
Sony's done gaming a big favor in the last couple of years. Yeah. I'll definitely give really it that. Have. But yeah, that'll do it for our E3 wrap-up. Be sure and listen in on our next podcast. We're going to be doing our PlayStation VR experience, samplings, thoughts, opinions, what have you. Thank you for tuning in. For Kenny Hall and Andrew Kate, it's been Hardly Casual, and you've been listening. Catch you later, guys.